Have you ever wondered why exactly it is that things usually sound better at home than they do on stage, in auditions, or even in lessons? It's easy to chalk it up to nerves or assume that you just have to practice more or get more performance experience. And sure, those things certainly are part of the puzzle, but a lot of times that's not really the true root cause. If you've been confused by the inconsistency of your performances, I put together a free 4-minute quiz called the Mental Skills Audit, which will help you pinpoint your mental strengths and weaknesses and figure out what exactly to adjust and tweak in your preparation for more consistently optimal performances. You can take the Mental Skills Audit online at bulletproofmusician.com/MSA. That's MSA for Mental Skills Audit. And again, it's 100% free, and it'll take just 4 minutes to get your results emailed to you as a PDF. This is Noah Kageyama, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Musician Podcast. Every Sunday morning, we'll take a look at a new research-based tip or technique to help you practice more effectively or perform better under pressure. And on the first Sunday of every month, I'll have a guest from the music, sport, or research world who will share their insights on how we can all be a little more awesome in the practice room and on stage. From a pretty early age, I remember thinking that it would be really cool to compete in one of those really big international competitions someday. Something along the lines of the Indianapolis or Tchaikovsky competition, or any one of those competitions named after famous composers, musicians, or royalty. Of course, that would require a good amount of planning and practicing, which weren't exactly my strong suits as a kid. I always assumed that I'd get my act together and make this happen someday, but never could seem to get all the repertoire ready in time to make a tape. So when I entered grad school, I was determined to make this happen. For once, I got a tape made and an application submitted, and was pretty excited to hear I was admitted to the Nielsen competition. I started visualizing success and was super optimistic about how prepared I would be for once in my life. I set SMART goals, as in specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-based goals. I outlined my objectives and created a series of deadlines and benchmarks for the next 6 months. It was all very clear in my head. But then summer happened. It was really hot in my apartment that summer, which made it hard to focus. Some unexpected gigs came up that took away some practice time. My teachers were out of town, so I didn't have regular lessons. My girlfriend was in the city for a couple months, and she was way more fun to spend time with than Bach, Winiarski, Nielsen, and all the others. We did get married eventually, so that part definitely worked out. But needless to say, I was not prepared when the week of the competition rolled around. Despite starting off that summer with the best intentions, my SMART goals failed me. This isn't to say that SMART goals can't work, of course. But if SMART goals haven't been a good fit for you either, research suggests that there may be a better way to set goals. And what might that look like? Well, a team of researchers recruited 66 second-year high school students who would be getting PSAT prep books as part of their summer homework. One day, near the end of the semester, they were asked to complete an assignment that was made to look like it would help them prepare for the writing part of the test. First, they were asked about their expectations of success, as in, how likely do you think it is that you will complete all 10 practice tests in the PSAT workbook? They were also asked a question to gauge their level of motivation, as in, how important is it to you to complete all 10 practice tests in the PSAT workbook? Then they were instructed to write down 2 positive benefits of completing the practice tests, such as, I would feel good about myself, as well as 2 obstacles that might stand in the way, such as, I am too busy. Some of the students were then asked to write a short essay. This was the control group. The other students were asked to brainstorm 2 contingency plans for each of the potential obstacles they identified earlier, using the format, if obstacle, then I will solution. This was the experimental group. So the question is, did contingency planning for likely obstacles make any difference? Well, the researchers found that both groups had similar expectations for success and equal levels of motivation to complete all 10 practice tests over the summer. So if goal achievement were based purely on motivation and confidence, you might expect both groups of students to come back in the fall with about the same amount of their PSAT prep homework completed. But that is not what happened. When the students returned to school in the fall and turned in their workbooks, there was a huge difference in the group's level of follow-through. The students in the control group averaged 84 practice problems, but the students in the experimental group blew that group out of the water, completing an average of 140 practice problems. So why was there such a big difference? Well, in research circles, this particular goal-setting strategy is known as mental contrasting with implementation intentions, or more commonly, WOOP, which stands for wish, outcome, obstacle, and plan, and is also much funner to say. So here's how to set a WOOP goal for yourself. The first step is to come up with a wish. In other words, come up with a meaningful goal, something important to you that you're willing to work towards. The next step is the outcome. Visualize that future where you've achieved your goal. Be sure to imagine not just how it'll look when you've gotten there, but also how it'll feel to accomplish your goal too. The next step is the obstacle. Imagining success is great, but there are inevitably going to be speed bumps and hurdles along the way. So just as the students in the study did, be sure to imagine and visualize some of the obstacles that are likely to get in the way. And note that these obstacles should be things that are internal rather than external, as in things that you have control over, like negative thoughts or emotions or bad habits or tendencies. And the last step is the plan. Create an if-then contingency plan for overcoming these obstacles, so that when something happens, you don't have to figure out in that moment how to get around it, but you've already planned it out and have a sense of what you're going to do. Developed by psychologists Gabrielle Oettingen and Peter Golitzer, there's quite a bit of research to support this method, going back some 20-odd years. So if you've ever tried setting SMART goals and found yourself falling short, don't give up on goal setting quite yet. Try the WOOP approach and see if this might be the thing that helps you get past the sticking points that have bested you in the past. You can find links to this week's study and other related practice hacks at bulletproofmusician.com/blog. If you found this episode helpful, please do share it with a friend or practice buddy who you think would also enjoy experimenting with it during the coming week. And if you'd like to explore this sort of thing in more depth, whether it be to get more out of your daily practice or to get better at managing performance pressure and shrinking that gap between what you can do in the practice room and what comes out on stage, you can learn more about the live and self-paced courses that are available at bulletproofmusician.com/courses.